probably one of the saddest chapters you'll read in the Scripture, 1 Kings chapter 11, as it records the downfall of one of the great spiritual leaders of all times, a man by the name of Solomon. And if Solomon, the son of David, the wisest man that has ever lived outside of Jesus Christ, if this man could fall, if this man could have such a chapter written about him, then woe be unto us if we think we're above it. I want to just begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, the Zidonians, and the Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. It came to pass that when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem. And if you look that up, that is that special hill, the Mount of Olives. Here we find Solomon building wicked and ungodly shrines to false heathenistic gods on such a holy hill. What about that? You say, I can't believe it. Well, if what I'm going to preach today is in your life, you will not be shocked at nothing you will end up doing. You will not look in the mirror and say, I cannot believe I did that. It'll be very real. But he builds on the mountain there that is before Jerusalem for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he, verse 8, for all his strange wives, which burn incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing, and that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. We'll stop, we'll just break off right there. You really need to read the whole chapter. I mean, even starting in verse 14, the Lord stirred up adversaries unto Solomon. And you could read on how that God sent a messenger on later on in the chapter. And Solomon rejected that. But listen to what is stated here in verse 41, the closing of the chapter. And the rest of the acts of Solomon and all that he did and his wisdom, are they not written in the books of the acts of Solomon? And the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel were 40 years. And Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his father. And Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his stead. If I were to ask you this morning, having heard this scripture read, what is it that stood out to you? Possibly there would be some in the congregation tonight would say, or this morning, would possibly say that what stands out to me and what really catches my attention is, here is a man with 700 wives and 300 concubines. But I want to say there's something else ought to catch our attention. There's something else that I can't believe. There's something else that I find hard to get a hold of. And it's not the 700 wives and the 300 concubines. What I find hard to believe is what is said more than once in this passage, that his heart was turned away from God. Now that is what I find hard to believe. In fact, as you read the degrading, declining downfall of this great spiritual giant, you will find that all of the negative started when his heart wasn't right. When his heart got turned away from God, it threw the door open, wide open in his life for evil and sin and all kinds of abomination and wickedness to come in his life. Even to the point that as you and I would read this commentary of the great spiritual giant Solomon, the wisest man outside of Christ that ever lived, we'd say, how could anybody do such a thing? How could anybody stoop to such a level? How could anybody have this said of them? Your heart get turned away from God. You're vulnerable. You're wide open for any evil and sin that has ever been written in the black catalog of sin. Not only can you do what you have done before, but you can do what anything that others have done. Your flesh, your human fallen sinful flesh, I want to tell you, it possesses the potential. It possesses the probability, my friend, of committing every ungodly, wicked crime and sin. There's not a sin that's recorded in the Holy Scripture that your flesh could not be guilty of. You may have looked at some of those in the Old Testament, you think, I can't believe they did that. That is terrible that they do such a thing. Your flesh, it has the potential. You give your flesh, my friend, an inch and it will become your ruler. You give the flesh a little bit of loose rope and I'll promise you it will go further than you ever thought it would go. There's many today that's living a life of absolute spiritual destruction because they had confidence in the flesh and they allowed things to get close. They allowed people to get close to them that had wicked ways and evil in their life and it turned their heart away from God. I'm preaching this morning, if the Lord will help me, or at least beginning, I want to preach on a heart turned away from God. A heart turned away from God, and I hope the Lord will help me to get it out, what's in my heart. Amen. No sadder chapters written in Scripture recording the downfall of such a spiritual man at one time. Now, if you go back, and I encourage you to do so, in chapters 1 through 10, you'll find a king that seemingly had no flaws. You come back in chapters 1 through 10, and you find Solomon. My friend, you find his rise. But then when you come to chapter 11, you find his demise. In chapters 1 through 10, everybody is looking at him with admiration and saying, wow, what a king. But when they come to chapter number 11, his testimony is ravaged. His testimony is destroyed. He is there, my friend, with no respect, no confidence, my friend, from anyone because he gave in to the flesh. His heart, my friend, was turned away from God. And let us just note carefully that that is a potential. Your heart, the battleground of your life spiritually, the battleground of your life is in the area of affection. It was proven in the 17th century that even in the physical realm, your heart is the center of your physical life. And so it is even when the heart is used in the Word of God, it's referring to what you, it is referring to the center of your life. The hub of your life. That which everything rotates around. Your entire circulatory system evolves around that heart. Your whole life spiritually evolves around your spiritual heart, your spiritual affection, your spiritual desires. And when you allow your affection to get to decline, and you allow your spiritual desires to decline, you're opening yourself up for all manner of potential. The second Samuel chapter number 1, three different times in that chapter, verse 19, 25, and 27, three times in that one chapter this question is asked. How are the mighty fallen? How are the mighty fallen? Oh yes, friend. That ought to be a question asked, that we should ask. If the mighty can fall, then what does that say to the rest of us, Brother Brian? Are you listening? I certainly wouldn't view myself to be in the mighty category. And I don't know if we got any in here that might would line up in the mighty category, but here's the point. If the mighty has fallen, and there's been many of them even recorded in Scripture, you find their downfall is one we're preaching from today named Solomon. Then what does that say for us? But I guarantee you, if you trace it back, everyone that was mighty that fell, you'll find out that it was a heart issue. The heart of every problem is a problem of the heart. You need to keep your heart with all diligence. In fact, listen to this. The very man that wrote that in Proverbs 4:23, I'm reading about him now. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The same man that recorded in Proverbs 23, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. My friend, a lot that Solomon wrote about the heart, but yet we find here the Bible says that his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God in verse 4. He preached it. But there come a time in his life he didn't practice it. Are you listening? God help us this morning. Verse number 2, for surely they will turn away your heart. Verse 3, his wives turned away his heart. Verse 4, his wives turned away his heart after other gods. Verse 4, his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Verse 9, his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel. A heart turned away. Am I describing you this morning? Am I only talking about Solomon? Am I preaching a God-sent message this morning that's addressing personally someone sitting in the service or that will listen by way of tape? You're hearing a personal word, and that your heart is being pulled. Your heart is being bent. Your heart is being drawn away from God. And when your heart is drawn away and turned away from God, your life will follow your heart. Your life will follow your heart. There's several things that we could say. We may say some more of those tonight. But I want to hasten on and just, I want to go ahead and deal with the first thing this morning. This is probably all I get dealt with. In fact, I probably wouldn't get all of it dealt with. But the Lord wants me to speak to you about this subject right here. Point number 1 on the heart turned away. Number 1, I want to talk about the dangers of a heart turned away, or the danger of it. There is a danger of it. There is a possibility of it. There is the risk of it. There is always the threat of it. There is always the potential of it in your life. And I want to tell you, listen, I've got all the information. He started right. Yes, right. Solomon started right, brother. You can go back in the early chapters 1 through 10 and find some great things that was said about this man. But I want to tell you, in spite of the fact that he started right, he did not end right. And there's two points, there's two parts of a race that is crucial. And that is the starting point and the finishing point. Now I stand before you. I'm glad, thank God, that we started right by the grace of God. But I want to tell you what, I want to finish right. I want to finish this race with joy that is set before me. That's what Paul said. I want to finish the course. He said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished my course. I want to finish right, Brother Darrell. Yes, it's dark days. Yes, it's discouraging times. Yes, it's difficult. But I'll tell you, I want to be determined. I want to keep my confidence in the Lord. I want to know in my heart that it's always best to serve God, even in the hard times, than it is to let the flesh have control in the hard times. Are you listening to the preacher this morning? There's a danger of it. Now I want to mention two basic truths about this, under this danger. Number one, I want to talk about the person. And we've been preaching about it already. We've been talking about it already. In the fact, the person that is here mentioned whose heart was turned away was the man Solomon. Man named Solomon. Hard to believe that he got in the shape in chapter 11 that he was in. But it records it. The Bible doesn't dodge the flaws of man. If man had written the scripture, it'd have left out those times. They'd have left out all the negative. They would have just said the positive. Oh, God pinned her down so that you and I could learn, amen. Not look at Solomon and judge him and say, I can't believe you did that and how sorry. No, that God allowed it to be recorded so we could look at it and analyze it and learn from his mistakes and learn from him. So we find the person, the danger that applied to this person, Solomon. Solomon wasn't above it. Solomon wasn't beyond it. This danger, this threat, this risk was even on Solomon's life. Maybe he got too cocky. Maybe he got too confident. After looking at his successes, looking at his wealth, and looking at all of his servants, and looking at how that God allowed him to rise to such a level of kingship. Maybe he got too confident. Maybe he began to take things for granted. But nonetheless, we find that Solomon fell. Sadly, but Solomon fell. Chapters 1 through 10 seemed like he couldn't do no wrong. Chapter 11 seemed like he couldn't do nothing right. He is the son of David. Think about that. You can go back to chapter 2 and find where David is giving him the commission. And David is changing the kingship off of him over to his son Solomon and charging him to build the temple. I'm talking about Solomon, the son of David. Can you imagine what instruction David gave Solomon? No wonder Solomon wrote in Proverbs 1, hear the instruction of thy father. And forsake not the law of thy mother. You can find even in chapter 31 of Proverbs where his own mother, Bathsheba, my friend, gave him instruction about the watch out for women. Watch out for wealth and watch out for sin and watch out for things of that nature. But he didn't listen. He didn't listen. But here's the son of David. And I wonder how many sitting here before me this morning, you can testify that you had a godly parent or parents. You had parents or a parents, my friend, that taught you right and was a good example and gave good instruction. But I want to tell you, they're everywhere whose children are gone astray. Having a great parent or parents that love God is no guarantee about you and your heart being pulled away. Are you listening? I was sitting across the table from a pastor not long ago. I was sitting there and we were talking about children and all of that and he broke down, started weeping. He broke down, started crying. He said, "Preach, I don't understand it." He said, we've tried our best to raise our children right. He said, we've never acted hypocritically around them. They've never saw us one thing at home and something else differently at church. Never heard us run our church members down. Never heard us fuss and fight. And I mean, went through a bunch of the nevers and commendable things. And then said, but where's the heart? They have no heart for God. They have no heart for the Lord. Had godly parents, and I'm talking about some of the greatest that I could even, that I know about today. Amen. I'm talking about children that extra blessed, beyond the normal, extra blessed, have parents such of such a caliber, but yet their children, no heart for God. Heart cold toward God. Never get excited about the things of God. It doesn't matter who your parents are, and if you've had parents that gave you godly instruction and taught you right and took you to church, you better thank God because you're among the minority. Most children on planet Earth this morning have parents, even if they even know who their parents are or where their parents are. My friend, have gotten parents that don't care about them spiritually, never pray with them, never talk to them about Jesus, never take them to church. We've got kids, I'll guarantee you, my friend, in this church service this morning, who's had parents that gave godly advice, godly instruction, godly counsel, my friend, godly example, and my friend, you have no heart for God. Have no heart for God. Are you listening? I'm talking about David's son. I'm talking about King David, the giant killer. I mean, Solomon had a daddy that was a giant killer. David, listen, Solomon's daddy, the Bible said, was a man after God's own heart. But yet here Solomon started out right. Started out on fire. Started out excited. Started out, my friend, dealing with sin in the kingdom and doing great and building temples and all of those things. But here we find him fallen. And I do not rejoice in that, I promise. But we find the person. Something about that it was Solomon, the son of David. But what about the accomplishments? Oh, my soul, what about the accomplishments of Solomon? I mean, what about the accomplishments? Hey, did you know that he spoke 3,000 proverbs? In fact, he wrote the book of Proverbs, or the Holy Spirit used him to pin down the book of Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes. And the book of Song of Solomon. I mean, here's a man that I know it's hard to get a hold of, and I can't hardly get a hold of it. Here's a man at one time in his life was so in tune with God, his heart was so perfect toward the Lord, that he wrote 1,005 songs, spoke 3,000 proverbs, and wrote 3 books of the Bible. That don't seem like the man I'm reading about and preaching from about in chapter 11, does it? I'm talking about the danger. It doesn't matter, my friend, who you know, who you're kin to. It does not matter the fact that you might be coming to the best church in the country. It doesn't matter, my friend, what you're getting taught from the pulpit, what you're being taught from your parents. My friend, you young people, listen. If your heart goes astray, you will follow it. If your heart goes after flesh, your life will follow it. What you love will lead you. Amen. The danger of it. Accomplishment. Built 2 temples for God. I'm talking about a praying man, buddy. I read it again this morning. When they dedicated the temple, the Bible said that when Solomon had made an end of praying, the glory come. When he had made an end of praying. You want me to read it to you? Listen to it. And now, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory filled the house. And the priest could not enter in the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, His mercy endures forever. I'm talking about a man that can pray the fire down and pray the glory down. Here's a man that's fallen. Why, preacher? Tell us why he allowed his heart to be turned and pulled away from God. I have a great fear of falling. You say, preacher, you mean you? Yes, you better believe me. I have a great fear of falling because I know people that have failed. I know preachers that have failed. I know great saints of God that have failed. I want to tell you, dear friend, I look at that and I say, Lord, I never want that to happen to me. Brother Brian, honest before the Holy God of heaven, I'd rather die. I'd rather die than to quit. I'd rather die, Brother Bob, than for somebody to look at me and say, there goes that man that used to preach in Rogersville. There goes that one that used to go across the country preaching the gospel and preaching revivals and going to other countries and preaching on mission trips. There goes that one that preached and people got saved. There's that one. And Brother Bob, be a has-been and a used-to-be. Oh, I don't want that. Oh, I don't want that. I'm talking about the danger of this, the danger of your heart, the risk of your heart being pulled away, the possibility of it being pulled away. Listen, I know in my heart the Lord wants me to preach this. I know that. I thought maybe there for a little bit we wasn't even going to have any preaching this morning. But while they were singing that song, the Lord spoke my heart and said, preach that, or at least begin preaching that. There's folk here this morning that is in danger, already in the process, that your heart is being pulled. Your heart is being turned away from God. And I want you to know you better not think lightly of that. You better not think lightly of that, because just as there was a chapter written about this man Solomon, there could be a chapter written about you. Here's something I want to mention. Not only the person of this danger, even Solomon was in danger of having his heart pulled away. But this got my attention right here. Look at verse number 4. I believe it's verse number 4. For it came to pass, listen to these next words, when Solomon was old. Did you get that? When Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods. You know what that's telling me? You'll never outlive the danger. You'll never outlive the risk. You'll never outlive the potential of your flesh, my friend, bringing havoc and collapse to your spiritual testimony. My Uncle Joe told me when I first started preaching, he said, you better guard yourself. You better watch everything. I'm telling you, he said, you better guard everything where you're at, who you're around, what things look like. Make sure you're just paying attention to what even looks bad. May not be nothing there, but if there's even the appearance of evil, you better watch yourself, because here's what he said. He said, you can ruin in less than five minutes what has took you a lifetime to build. Solomon, when he was old, Brother Carroll, I can't get a hold of that. Here he had spent his life serving God, doing the will of God, building the temple, praying the fire down, giving instruction, giving songs and proverbs. And then when he was old, the Bible said, even in that age, his heart was turned away from God. And we've all heard it said about, in 1 John, it talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And I've heard it described that those three areas. I've heard it described that the lust of the flesh is your youth. The lust of the eyes are the middle years. And the pride of life is what you battle with at the end in your upper years and the older years as you look back over. And I see that. I can see that. I can see the application. I can see the truth in that. But I want to tell you what, I've talked to people of various ages, and I'm telling you, they battle the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. I've talked to older people. I'm talking about older than to be my grandparent. I've asked them, how is it? How does temptation get in the elderly years? How is it that, you know, the allurements of sin, how does that get in the older years? And they say, preacher, it don't lighten up any. If anything, it gets worse. I'm telling us all this morning that we will never outlive the danger and the threat of our flesh, allowing things to pull us away from God. That means you better keep your flesh nailed to a cross, keep it crucified, keep it denied, die daily to its desires, die daily to its wants and its appetites, my friend, and submit and yield yourself to God. Oh, can we not see the corrupting fingerprints of the flesh on Solomon's life right here in chapter number 11? And your flesh is no different than his. Your flesh is no different than his. Your flesh is wicked. Your flesh is prone to wander. Your flesh, my friend, will wind up in the hog pen of sin. Your flesh will if you allow it to have its way. My flesh was in control the first 20 years of my life. And look what it done. Look where it took me. Look at the scars. Look at the regret. Look at the misery. Look at the blessings I missed out on by allowing the flesh to be in control. But I don't want to ever allow that flesh to get back in the driver's seat. Are you listening? You'll never outlive the danger and threat potential of the flesh. After years of good and great spirituality and spiritual accomplishment and a powerful testimony, after years of that, look what happened. How many people do you know that has failed in their latter years? How many people, my friend, could be talked about and their commentaries could be read that fail in their latter years? I believe you can see where Gideon failed in his latter years. Oh yeah. Gideon the Great in the Bible. Read it, friend. And if it happened to him and happened to Solomon and it happened to others, I want to tell you, friend, listen, it can happen to me. And it all wraps around your heart being pulled away, your heart being turned away. Are you listening? The danger of it. And I'll just start with this one, deal with this one here just a moment, and I'll be through. Number two, I want to talk about the direction of it. The direction of it. Notice the two words, turned away. Do you see direction right there? Do you see some direction there? One is a negative and one is a positive. One is a turning away from and the other is a turning unto. Turned away, Brother Brian, if I'm facing you, and for me to fulfill what that said, to turn away means I remove my face and turn my back to Him. But in doing so, I'm turning my face unto another. You say, preacher, I will never do. Don't ever say that. You listen, always attached to that statement, by the grace of God, I will never do. By the grace of God, I'll finish well. By the grace of God, I'll not bring a reproach to the name of the Lord. But I want you to notice here the direction of this. Proverbs 23:19 says, hear, and this Solomon wrote it, hear thou, my son, and be wise. Guide thine heart in the way. If you don't guide your heart will guide you. Amen. Lord, help us, Jesus. How many would be in the service this morning? Right as I speak, right as I preach, not tomorrow, not yesterday, but right now, your heart has been pulled away and is being pulled away from the things of God. You better take this very seriously. You better take it very seriously. Lord, just give me this little statement yesterday. If you don't want to go off the cliff, then don't go toward it. If you don't want your life to be a wreck, then don't go in that direction. Don't, listen, Keep your face toward God's face. Keep your life toward God's life. Be intimate with Him. Walk in fellowship with Him. Hold hands with Him. Let Him be your all in all. Because when that starts getting cold and declining, you're going to turn your back against that and turn your face to those things which in this scripture calls an abomination. An abomination. The direction of it. The direction of it. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Are you listening to the preacher? Lord, help us. 90 times in the word in Proverbs, the word heart appears. 40 times in the book of Ecclesiastes, the word heart appears. And 5 times in the Song of Solomon, the word heart appears. All of them mentioned and used by the very man I'm preaching about this morning. And listen to this right here. Even back in chapter number 8. Chapter 8 verse 61. Look at the exhortation that Solomon has given to others. Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in His statutes and to keep His commandments as at this day. Here he is, the very man that I'm preaching about in chapter 11, has told others just previously about their heart being perfect toward the Lord. And here in chapter 11, verse 4, it says that his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. The danger. The direction. The direction. What you love. And I want you to get this little statement. Lord, give it to me this week. And we can see it exhibited right here and illustrated. What you love, good or bad, will lead you. Whatever your heart is on, you will go after it. The devil can get your heart set on sin and wickedness and worldliness and everything like that. Your life will go after it. Your heart is the steering wheel of your life. And here's what Solomon did. Solomon allowed some to get close enough to him to put their hands on his steering wheel. Are you listening? It's not those that's distant from me that's going to be controlling my direction. Are you listening? Blake, wake up. Are you listening? I want my son to hear it. And I want your children to hear it. There's not a person in here that is above it, friend. I'm not here preaching a sermon, Ed. I'm here preaching a message from God. Somebody is in trouble. Somebody is headed in the wrong direction. Your heart is turned away from God. Your heart is going in the wrong direction. And your life is following it. Are you listening? I'm serious as a heart attack this morning. The direction. It's when you allow people to get in close, when you allow things to get in close, when you allow hobbies to get in close, when you allow things to get in close enough to put their hands on your steering wheel of your affection, you will go in the direction they turn you. That steering wheel is not big compared to the big car or the big truck or whatever. But I want to tell you what, it doesn't take but a small hand on the steering wheel to control the direction of a big car. You don't want to go in certain directions? Then why do you run with people that's going in that direction? If you're running with friends that's going toward the cliff, and you're headed in that direction, who do you think's controlling your life? Well, it's me. I'm doing what I want to do. No, you're not. You're doing what those influences are saying about you. That's right. Are you listening? When your heart gets pulled away, always know there's a danger of it. And number two, no, there's always going to be a direction. And watch this right here, and I'm done for this morning. Notice what it says there in verse. Look what the last statement of verse 2 says. Everybody still got your Bibles open? Look at the last part of verse 2. He just got through talking about the Lord gave the commandments of what they shouldn't do and told them why. They will turn away your heart after their gods. And notice this right here. Solomon clave unto these in love. A direction. Now here's the thing. I want you to get this. Note that word clave. The Bible said that Solomon, at one time, whose heart was perfect toward the Lord, that walked in fellowship and intimacy with the Lord, was used mightily to do works for God, pray a hole in the sky, pray the fire down. Here's a man in our text, ladies and gentlemen, who was cleaving, here's the way I worded it. You find there's a leaving, turning away, and then there will be a cleaving. It's not that you just turn away from God and then you're just kind of going to go on your merry way. Or turn away from the things of God and you're just going to kind of float around in a pool of apathy. No! No, child of God! No! When you leave God, when you turn away from God, when your heart is turned away from God, I'll tell you there will be other gods come into your life that you will cleave to. It's not just the negative of turning, your heart turning away from the Lord and your affection cooling down about the Lord, the things of God. It's not just that. Look at what you're going to turn to. I've told people before, I said, look, the direction you're heading, I said, you are headed back and you are headed out. And I mentioned some things and that individual said, preach, I'll never do that. I'll never go. I said, because you think about it. When you start backing up, and here's the thing about it, Brother Brian. We don't get away from God doing this. Not according to that statement. Turn away. No, we don't go away from God and the things of God, quit reading our Bible and praying and out of church and all of that. We don't get away from God, Brother Brian, looking at Him and just walking backwards. No, here's how we get away from God. We turn away. We get our eyes and focus on other things. Other things, my friend, that should not be big, becomes big and begins to pull us and begins to attract us and begins to influence our life. There'll be a leaving, and there will be a cleaving. Ephraim hath joined himself to idols. Let him alone. Are you listening? Oh, I'm talking about people sitting right here, including this preacher. There's a danger of my heart being turned away. And there's a direction when my heart is turned away. When your heart's turned away from the Lord, that will no longer be your chief interest. You will become interested in other things. And here's the thing. I want to mention these young people right quick. I thought I was done. Let me give this to you. It's amazing to me, and there's reasons for it, and I won't have time to deal with it right now. But in verse 1, it talks about he was married to the daughter of Pharaoh. Why did Solomon go to Egypt and of all people marry Pharaoh's daughter? Egypt's a type of the world. Egypt's always been against God, always fought against God throughout the scripture. And here's Solomon going down there to get a woman. And not only did he get her, then he started marrying some of the Zidonians and the Moabites and the Ammonites. All forbidden! Here's the thing that really got my attention, you young people, and I preach to you all the time. You might as well get used to it. Why did he not consider one big, all-important thing before he married somebody? You know what it was? He should have looked at their worship. You young ladies, you young men, you are foolish to even entertain the thought of marrying somebody that is not a worshiper of God. Now, I didn't talk about going to church. I'm not talking about a church member. I'm talking about a worshiper. If you're interested in someone and their heart is interested in this world and their affection is toward this world, you'll be a fool to go to the marriage altar with that person. Amen. Oh, did it hurt Solomon? Did it offend? Was it wrong? Was it bad for Solomon to have wives, my friend, that was against God, that worshiped other gods, that did not have a heart for God? And guess what? He never won one of them to Jesus. I will deal with this later on, if the Lord lets, later on in another section of the message. But I want to tell you what, friend, I know of at least 1,000 people that's in hell because of Solomon's demise. 700 wives that was worshipers of false heathenistic gods, not one indication nowhere to be found that any one of them ever turned and worshiped Jehovah God. They hung around and lived with Solomon, and my friend was never under conviction about their heathenistic worship. I want to ask you young ladies and men something. Why is it that those you run with that are not saved never gets under conviction around you? Why is it, my friend, you can hang around them and you're supposed to be light and they're lost, they're in darkness, and light and darkness can never get along, can't never have fellowship? Why is it they never get under conviction about you, around you? Could it be that you don't have no power on your life? They don't see no worship of God in your life? And here's Solomon. Solomon married them knowing it. He knew they weren't worshipers of God. Well, preacher, I'll win them to Jesus. You willing to take that chance? You willing to put your whole life, my friend, in lockdown with the thought or even a possible chance of winning them to Jesus? There has been some win some. There has been some win some to Jesus. But that's not the rule of thumb. The rule of thumb is, friend, they will turn your heart away from God. Verse 2, I believe it is, God's the one that's telling the children of Israel, don't marry them because they'll turn your heart away from God. God's the one that said it. God's the one that said it. Amen. Well, hallelujah. The direction of it. Let's all stand to our feet.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.